Request for $2.5 million in order to complete projected projects that are actually, some of which are completed already in design phase. So what we're doing is moving, instead of asking for $2.5 million for 2013, we're going to ask for $900,000 in 2013 and make up the difference by moving this money from the cuts we made in the capital budget. So the 1.628 is a budgetary cut in reality. And we're moving it because we could then proceed with these projects immediately. Because their design is completed and they're ready to go out to bid.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Of course, you know, these pump stations and force mains are major components of our sewer system in Newcastle County. And, you know, we have portions of the system under renovation, and this reflects the need to keep the capital projects schedule going forward for rehab and renewal. Any questions from members of council? Any questions from members of the public? Yes, Councilman Reddick.
Thank you. On these, on the bids, how many contractors from Delaware are bidding this?
I mean, it'll be publicly advertised. Again, reinsurance of special services. This will be a public works or special services bid. It'll be publicly advertised. Whatever contractors wish to bid on it, will bid on it.
But isn't there some criteria that they got to have that be on the bidders list too?
That's true.
How many
they have to be pre-qualified, and they have to meet the requirements that were basically enacted by this council.
How many Delawarean contractors
on the pre-qualification list?
Correct.
I do not know.
Same on the floor.
Okay. Any other questions from members of council? Any other from the public? Okay, we're going to move on to ordinances. Ordinance number 12-008, Councilman Sheldon.
Basically, this is a companion piece because what it does is it breaks it down from where the money was taken from and put to use. So one piggybacks the other.
Companion ordinance to accompany the resolution?
Right.
Okay. Any questions from members of council on this? Any questions from anybody in the public? All right. This is going to be the shortest finance meeting in history, I think. Item JK&L, we have none. Under other, presentation on the county's jobs initiative. Is anybody for any minutes? Councilman Sheldon.
I'm cute.
See, call me on guard on that one.
I'm cute and short.
Am I doing everything today?
I knew you guys looked something like
that. Looked down and said you guys' name.
What can I tell you? It's a
nice word. I'm sorry if your feelings were hurt.
Hey, there you are, but I duly accept it.
Councilman Smiley.
Well, if you'd like me to stand in at some of your community meetings, let me know. Now, just touch base briefly. Councilman, you and I both met with the county exec and others to discuss the initiation of this and had some outlay on it. We felt it would be best to avoid misrepresentations and all, to have this brought out here in front of council, make them aware of it. Mr. Kaulbacher would be doing a presentation, and as I believe many of you received the email, I had discussed with the county executive, asked him to put in appearance. I feel that this is that important to us, and I just got word this morning that he would be available. So hopefully he will be here. And with that, I pass it off to Mr. Kaulbacher.
We're going to get
it. I know, he's got to go.
Remember how quick this meeting was going to be? You're good.
I'd like to take a moment and recognize that we've been joined by the county executive, Paul Clark. I'd like to also recognize that Councilman Weiner recently joined us at the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for a couple minutes here. I just really came back to see if this room was still as stuffy as it always was, and it seems to still be, so sorry we haven't been able to fix that for you. It's somewhat unprecedented for the county exec to come to a committee meeting, but I consider these to be somewhat unprecedented times. The economy stalled. Many of our neighbors are out of work or underemployed. My administration has been working hard to try to figure out the appropriate direction for this government to take. As you know from my State of the County address last month, we sort of went on a three-part agenda. One was to make sure that we were fiscally sound. You know, you can't do anything if your own house isn't in order. I think we've made great inroads to trying to accomplish that. And part of my comment of announcing very early that we believe we could balance this budget and make it work with no tax increase this year was to send a message out to the community, the business community. The second part that we've worked hard to accomplish is to maintain the high quality of service, value, especially in the world of public safety. Because if you want to bring jobs into an area, people want to know it's safe. They want to know that we're stable. They want to know that the quality of life is good for their employees. So we worked on those things, and we think we've made pretty good inroads. The third part of that is where we are today. And I didn't want to just send over my staff. I wanted to personally come here and talk to you about this. Because for years, for 7 years, I've worked with almost all of you. You're new, but I know you. And I believe I understand some of the goals and desires that we want to accomplish together. You know, I think we could have sat back and maybe not done a whole lot. I could have stopped there. We got the budget in line, public safety. Let's just ride this thing out. But I don't think that's the government we all want to be. Take it easy. Sit back. I believe, from what I've heard from you and other people, that we want to do more. So my staff has worked hard on this program to see what we could do. And we call it sowing seeds and growing jobs. Those who know that my plant background, you may know why some of that is there. But there's an old saying that goes, do what you can with what you have and where you are. And, you know, we are not a government of great means. I can't guarantee you today at the end of this that we will nurture a bumper crop of jobs. But if we do nothing, is that the right thing to do either? So many of our neighbors are struggling to find work. The elements of this program are back to that statement, what we have, what can we do, and they are our seeds. With this jobs program, we are attempting to sow as many seeds out as possible. We can't guarantee all of them will fall on what would be the comparable here of good soil. But even if a few of them hit and they take root, that's a few of our neighbors that might get a job. When you think about that, is that not a good thing for this government to look into and worth our investment? Again, we are not a government of great means, but I believe we are a government of great compassion. And this is the time for us to look at what we can do. This is why, instead of sitting idly and waiting for the economic soil to turn from rocky to rich, we're using our seeds and casting them widely to see what we can do. And I will leave the details to Carl Kalmbacher in a minute, our Director of Economic Development, and there's some other members of my staff here. But I look forward to working with you on these initiatives. I think together we can do something. We hope we can make this county a fertile place, a fertile ground, which jobs can possibly grow. And, you know, I do want to thank some people that we've talked to about this. You know, Councilman Cartier and Councilman Smalley, we initially talked about this and wanted to bring it to you and explain it to you before it was even introduced. They've had the piece of legislation, but I also went out and over the period of months talked to labor, business, anybody else that wanted to talk about this. And I want to thank tonight, this afternoon, the favorable comments we got back from the, you know, Dito, from labor, and from the business community. And I think you'll hear or see some of those people in quotes that they've given us on this. Again, I want to thank you for your time. And I think this is the right direction for this government to go. And Carl will explain the fine details. But I wanted to come here tonight and tell you this is, I believe, something important for us to do. And I think it's in a perspective that we can afford it, that will give us a positive thing at the end. And again, just as if we did with our proposal we came over about foreclosures, even if it helps one person, isn't it the right thing to do? So again, I won't take any more of your time. I thank you for this, and I will turn this over to Carl. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you to the county executive for addressing us on this very important initiative that the administration's undertaking to create jobs in Newcastle County. So before you begin, Carl, I'd like to recognize that Councilman Bell has joined us, as well as Council President Kovac. And you have the floor, Mr. Kalbach.
Thank you, Councilman. It's a pleasure to be here. Carl Kalbach, Economic Development Director. I'm pleased to present to you today County Executive Clark, the administration's Newcastle County Jobs Initiative. As you've heard, it's entitled Sowing Seeds and Growing Jobs. As you heard, the county executive has made economic development and job creation a top priority of his administration. He recognizes, like you do, that we're still in tough times from this deep recession. Many of our neighbors are struggling to find jobs. Those who have jobs are in some instances underemployed, and those of us who have recent college graduates know that they're all at home, not living away from home because they can't find a job. So we want to do what we can to help create an environment for job creation. So our focus is creating jobs and working with the business community, and really it's the business community that creates jobs. But before we get started on our initiative, and what you've been handed out, and folks in the general public have received as well, are two documents. One is the PowerPoint presentation that we're going over today with you, and the second is a draft ordinance for partial property tax exemption for non-residential property that we will be discussing in greater detail. The other information in that packet is marketing material that we wanted you to know about for residential and non-residential types of business. What's important to reflect upon is that our economy locally is still stagnating. We've heard some good news nationwide. The unemployment rate is beginning to go down. Gross domestic product continues to churn at about 3%. And so things are going well nationally, but locally, we're still struggling, and that's why we're here today. If you look at the retail market, we're at a 20-year high with regard to vacancies at 11%. Newcastle County, the state of Delaware, the state of no sales tax, the state where on any Saturday or Sunday you see cars from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania streaming into our shopping malls to take advantage of tax-free shopping. We have retail vacancies at an all-time high. Our office vacancy rate is at 21.2%. It was at 21.2% a year ago, so we have not made a dent in the office market, even though we've seen some recovery nationwide. And of course, the national rate is 12.5%. And here at home, with regard to non-residential building permits, we're down 46% the last 3 years from the 10-year average of 2001 to 2011. Clearly, we have an intersection of two things going on. One, we're not able to fill vacant space, and two, we're not building new space. So from a real estate perspective, that's what we refer to as negative absorption, meaning we actually have more vacant office and retail space this year than we had last year. So those are not good indicators of a strong economy. With regard to the domestic home market, we know and we've reported to you that there have been 1,478 sheriff sales in Newcastle County last year, which is unfortunately 20% higher than the previous year. And if we look regionally, with regard to regional economies, our state's economy is recovering slower than in other areas of the Mid-Atlantic region. If you look at the map, those areas in darkest green are the ones that are, the economies are growing well. Those in lighter green, the next lightest green, they're doing okay. Those in the lightest of greens, of which Delaware is characterized as such, the growth is very slow. And those in red are economies that are contracting. So we see that we have some work to do. And with regard to the Small Business Administration analysis of 2010, it reflects that there are more businesses that closed than opened in 2010. We see these indicators as a basis for taking action, and that's why we're here today. Our goals as a government, as County Executive Clark has enunciated previously in his budget, State of the County earlier this year, have been to stabilize our finances and to prevent tax increases. And I know that the County Executive has conveyed to you his desire not to raise taxes this year. To maintain core services and public safety and a high quality of life. And we're here to talk more about creating a positive business climate to keep our residents working and our businesses humming, if you will. We have six programs that we want to highlight for you today. Expanded Buy From Your Neighbor program, which you know about. Targeted Community Economic Development program, which is, there are some new initiatives there. We want to talk about the process that we use with regard to the development review. We want to share again with you, as you already know, the significant amount of money that we've made in capital investment. Talk about a new small business advocate to help businesses, and conclude with the partial property tax exemption ordinance that we seek your approval for. It's important also, though, to set the stage to tell you that this isn't a new initiative for us. You all have been with us throughout this deep recession, working with us on the stimulus funding that we effectively put to use that created thousands of jobs, literally, from our Energy Efficiency Conservation Block Grant program that created 156 jobs, to the qualified, to the Recovery Zone Economic Development Bonds that we use to do construction projects, to our Recovery Zone Facility Bonds that we provided to the private sector that resulted in 900 jobs being created, to our neighborhood stabilization program that continues into effect and provides opportunities for not only home ownership but also for valuable construction jobs. What we're here today to tell you about is the next phase of economic development initiatives that we want to pursue. And I would characterize these initiatives into three broad categories. One, those that we are implementing and that you know about, and we want to share the good news about what we're doing. Two, programs that we're going to kick off that we can implement now. And three, programs that we want your support and approval of. And that's particularly the item number six, the partial property tax exemption ordinance. I also want to convey to you that economic development is a team sport. We work well with others in our small office of economic development. No less than five or six departments are going to be recognized today. Community services, special services, finance, land use, the executive office, administrative services, all have a role in economic development. And you also, the members of County Council, have given us financial support in this endeavor as well, and we thank you for your support. Let me begin by describing for you our first economic development initiative, which is the Expanded Buy From Your Neighbor Made in Newcastle County program. This is a program that has been in place for a while, but we're raising it to the next level. Councilman Powers knows that we made a concerted effort to get state legislation changed so that we could allow for more farm stands along rural roads, and we're going to take advantage of that initiative in order to make that connection between those agricultural products that are grown in Newcastle County, getting from the farm to the table, to the dining room table. We will do that through expansion of our Buy From Your Neighbor website, which will go live in about a month, and that website will extend beyond agricultural products to goods and services that are made in Newcastle County. We want to recognize that when you spend a dollar in Newcastle County and it stays in Newcastle County, it has much more value than if you spend a dollar and it goes somewhere outside of Newcastle County. And so that is what County Executive Clark has charged with us to do, and that's what we are doing. The Buy From Your Neighbor Made in Newcastle County program also extends to our procurement practices. And the point of contact is Yvonne Gordon, Chief of Administrative Services. We recognized early on that vendors who are seeking work under a professional services contract would get 5%, 5 points for a submittal. We have made an administrative change to double that point allocation to 10 points, thereby giving greater weight to Delaware-based firms competing for Newcastle County professional services. So we think that's a step in the right direction. The next series of initiatives is called the Targeted Community Economic Development Programs. And there are four sub-programs that make up the Targeted Community Economic Development. The Route 913 Corridors Economic Development Plan, a new program called the Community Economic Development Grants, and two programs that are currently operational, the Neighborhood Stabilization Program and the Qualified Energy Conservation Bond Program. We haven't come to you and spoken at great length with regard to the Route 913 Corridors Economic Development Plan because we were waiting on an economic development grant from the United States Economic Development Administration. And I am pleased to report to you today that we will receive a grant for $41,700 from the US EDA, thereby jump-starting this program and moving it forward. As you can see, thank you, we have many people, many organizations that are working together with us because, as I said, we can't do it alone. Our good friend from DITO, Jeff Stone, is here, and DITO provided $5,000, and we appreciate that. The Delaware River and Bay Authority, similarly $5,000. The City of Newcastle has a vested interest in this project. The Historic Newcastle Alliance, which is a Main Street affiliate program, has also contributed. And we also have skin in the game as well. Total funding, $93,000. The geographic area for this economic development study is from the southern perimeter of Wilmington, carrying up Route 13, encompassing the Newcastle County Airport and all of the City of Newcastle. Our goals for the study will be to target industries that we can recruit to this area, and we will be working with DITO and the City of Newcastle in that endeavor. We recognize the great infrastructure assets that exist in that area, the Port of Wilmington and the Newcastle Airport, and we will be focusing on promoting that growth. We want to expand tourism and Main Street programs with a particular focus in the historic Newcastle area that has a growing Main Street program. We want to identify strategic projects that will improve the general area. And it all starts with the issuance of a request for proposals that will be released shortly. It's all done, ready to go. And we will hire an economic development consultant who will then work with a stakeholder group to then put together the plan that will be presented back to you, along with the recommendations for going forward. We want to recognize members of the stakeholder group that worked on the Economic Development Administration grant that are here today. Bob Ruggio with the Commonwealth Group, Harry Gravel with the Building Trades, Paul Morrell with the Committee of 100, and Jeff Stone with the Delaware Economic Development Office all participated in drafting this grant. I also want to recognize the support and guidance of council members Street, Bell, Hollins, and Smiley for their encouragement and letters of support to the EDA. I think this is a great initiative. What County Executive Clark promised to me, and hopefully he'll promise to you, is that if this initiative goes well, then we'd like to take this on the road to other areas of Newcastle County to replicate this kind of work, to see what we can do to stimulate economic development and understand better what we can do in all geographic areas of Newcastle County. This project has a 9-month duration, so we're going to be moving very quickly. We will be adding it to our website. We will be having stakeholder group meetings, and we welcome everyone's participation. The second economic development program that we are unveiling today is a competitive grant that can be awarded to nonprofits, community organizations, or governments for initiatives that support economic development, small business, or job growth. The eligible projects that are listed for you there, that local governments and communities like Claymont, Hocassin, Marshallton can apply for are a business marketing program, facade improvement, finding out how to fill vacant retail space, maybe creating an incubator program. In Hocassin, there's already special events. Maybe there are opportunities to increase those special events and tourism. There are business associations in areas of the county. How do we make them stronger? All of those are some of those that we'll be looking for in our grant proposals from applicants. Again, we're ready to roll with this. The grant announcement is ready. The grant application is ready. We will be going out and meeting with our local governments. We will be meeting with nonprofits. We will be holding public meetings, and we will be getting this initiative underway. We don't have a lot of money to offer. We start with $50,000. We suspect we'll offer it to 2 or 3 awardees, and we will require a match so that we can get a robust submittal. And we expect to do this, as I mentioned, this spring. We will have these applicants, once they've completed their work, come back to you and present to you their good work so that you know what they've done with your money. The next program is one that's very familiar to you, but it's important to recognize the work that is being done. This neighborhood stabilization program is just, in my opinion, phenomenal. There was about $30 million that has been allocated to the state of Delaware, of which $11.6 million is being used by our county community services department. And they've just done a phenomenal job in acquiring vacant, abandoned, foreclosed properties, fixing them up, and putting them back on the street and selling them. And there are many, as you can see, 63 that have been addressed with the funding that's available, and there's more funding to go. But the other offshoot program that's equally impressive is this vacant home buyer assistance program that provides not only a 5-year forgivable loan, but also a forgivable loan up to 6% for down payment and settlement costs. Now, I'm told by General Manager Marcus Henry that this program went live November 1, and there have already been 52 houses that have taken advantage of this program, and $422,000 have been allocated. Now, I can't go on forever, but that tells you the interest and the need for providing assistance for folks to buy a home in distressed markets, to stabilize neighborhoods, to provide opportunities for construction jobs. It's just a wonderful program that deserves a lot more attention. The Qualified Energy Conservation Program, bond program, is one that we sought and received approval from you in November of 2011. These are federal tax credit bonds with an effective rate of 2%. The issuer of the bonds receives a 3.5% tax credit against their federal taxes, and so they can provide to the borrower a very low interest rate of 2%. We want very much to give this money to an interested company or nonprofit so that they can institute renewable energy or energy efficiency projects. We have a $1.62 million available. We will be marketing this program. The areas in red are what we consider rural. As you can tell, sometimes it's good to be a bureaucrat and use some liberties there, and we've covered a good piece of geography, so we're hoping that folks will take advantage of that. The next initiative is taking a hard look at our development review process. We recognize that the land use development process can be expensive and time consuming, and to the degree that we administratively can shorten and clarify the review process, we think that's beneficial to the development community. And so we have already committed previously to a 20-day review deadline for land use reviews, and now that has been extended to our Department of Special Services. At the recordation point, there is a land development improvement agreement that needs to be signed. Those had taken, in some cases, 30 days to get signed. We've committed to reducing that to 3 days, and we are doing that now. With regard to review letters of land use development proposals, we have made clear now that comments will have specific code requirements attached to them to reflect why something is being asked to be done. And we're working with DLDOT to streamline the construction entrance permit issue so that we can get folks to construction sooner, and we'll have more to report to you shortly. These steps, we think, are going to shorten the review process by several months, but what is very important, I want to underscore and highlight, is that by no means do any of these initiatives in any way impact upon the public notice procedures or on the public participation elements of the development process. What we're doing is what we can do as a government to streamline the process, but not impact the public's right to comment and process. Our points of contact, obviously, are General Manager Culver and Acting General Manager Wayne Merritt. With regard to infrastructure, this is something that we have been doing for many years, but it's important to reflect that we've invested $155 million in sewer upgrades in the last 5 years. If you were to use a calculator of job creation as a result of capital investment, you would quickly find that 4,000 jobs or more are created as a result of Newcastle County's investment in capital work in the last 5 years. That not only helps create jobs, it helps our bottom line with regard to business expansion, but it also improves the environment. We're reducing our INI, inflow and infiltration, we're reducing combined sewer overflows, and we have a much more stable and durable sewer system. I was in Philadelphia recently talking to folks about their economic development initiatives. Their number one priority is sewer and water lines. Why? Because their sewers are on average 70 years old and collapsing. Their water lines are on average 100 years old. They're in real trouble. We've taken those steps over the last many years to make the critical investments so that we're not there, we're not in that situation, but rather we're in a situation where we can say to a business, that area of Newcastle County is back open for use. It does have sewer capacity, and so our Department of Special Services should be commended for all the work that they've done, and you're funding them. And we will continue to fund sewer projects in the future. We also are making inroads on our commitments to our libraries. We have work out on the street for the Claymont Library at the new Darla Green site, and renovations are going to get underway at the Bear Library. And we are making plans to build libraries along the Route 9 corridor, as well as a Southern Newcastle County Library. And we will continue to make investments in county parks. Our next initiative is one that offers support and assistance to small businesses. We have assigned a small business advocate, and Terry Riley is here, who works in the executive office, but will be supporting small businesses through the land use approval process and other county permitting, developing policies, systems, and applications that promote customer service and efficiency, and serving as a key member of our administration to work with the small business community. And last, we provide to you a ordinance for your consideration that is for a non-residential partial property tax exemption. We want to support initiatives that allow for greater construction, new construction, and job creation. And we think that this ordinance provides that mechanism to do that. This ordinance is modeled after the existing ordinance, the law in effect in the county for the city of Wilmington. As you know, for projects in Wilmington that have a capital investment in excess of $50,000, once a reassessment occurs and an exemption is applied for and received, that applicant, that owner of property, receives a 10-year partial property tax exemption on the county portion of property tax, as well as the school portion of property tax. And it goes from 100 to 90 to 80, et cetera, over a 10-year period. What we're suggesting to you is an ordinance that is over a 3-year period, 100% on the increase in the assessed valuation of property attributable to new construction. And that is for the unincorporated areas of Newcastle County only. This is a program that will have a 5-year lifespan, because if someone were to complete their capital project in 2015, then they would get the exemption if they applied for in 16, 17, and 18. So think of it as an S-shaped curve with regard to the draw upon the property tax from this exemption. The exemption, as I've mentioned, would, under our proposal, would start July 1, 2012. It would sunset March 30, 2015. That was done specifically to provide time for our assessment division to conduct an assessment of the property, to give notice to the property owner of a reassessment, and then to allow the property owner the time to put in a request for exemption for assessment, for that supplemental assessment, so that we would be operational July 1, a new fiscal year. So we've given ourselves 3 months to get our papers in order for these types of reassessments, especially with regard to 2015. We suggest that the funds that would be used to cover this program would come from our real estate transfer tax reserve account, and we've made a notation in the ordinance to reflect that economic development programs could be used in that regard. This initiative, we believe, will create jobs, but we're not going to tell you categorically how many jobs are going to be created. But you know that if we offer an incentive and people take advantage of that incentive and permits go up, the number of permits and permit revenue goes up, then we will suggest to you that that is a consequence of the incentive that is being provided through this ordinance. And we can calculate for you, based upon those numbers, how many jobs will be created. With that, I'll close, and we have many general managers here and administrative staff to answer questions that you have on any part of our jobs program.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah. Carl, I want to thank you for the presentation and just to clear the air so we understand the path forward. The intent is this ordinance will be introduced February 28th meeting.
Yes, sir.
Will be then placed on another finance agenda for discussing to be in, voted on in March. I would urge every council members to take the time to review the ordinance, submit any questions directly to Carl, whatever that you may have, and we'll move forward. And we will have you back to discuss this ordinance specifically at the appropriate time.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I applaud the administration for a lot of creative initiative. Just one preliminary comment. The last thing you said, using as empirical measurement the increase in permits, can you somehow adjust for that for the in some way to compensate for the general growth of the economy? Is there a way to do that? And mathematics was not my strong subject. But is there a way to adjust for that so that we can empirically measure the benefit of the program?
I don't think so, Councilman. I think what you're going to see is a combination of a lot of factors. We're going to throw a lot of good programs at the public. We hope that many of them will stick and result in people making investments and creating jobs. I think if we see a positive uptick, then that's a very good indicator. But to try to break it out in the context of general growth versus our incentive is a difficult one.
Okay.
And the only other thing I want to comment on is the 5-year sunsetting is up to council. This is a 5-year sunsetting, but it's going well. We believe it's having a positive impact. It's generating the jobs. It's taking maybe some old properties and putting businesses back into them. Then council always has the option to reintroduce, expand it, change it. Whatever.
So. Council President Kovac.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Carl, this is a really good-looking program, and the fact that you know, we can incentivize businesses to come in and make investment, which, you know, I think probably we all agree is a good thing for this county, is to incentivize development and investment. Some of the things I'll kick out, and I'm sure we'll discuss further. You know, the fiscal note. And you know, it's a really interesting fiscal note, because I guess theoretically it will cost, quote, county revenues, but you know, if you projected what the revenues are going to be and then you see an increase in the number of applications because of this program, I mean, one could seriously argue that that's actually not costing the county revenues at all. But yeah, and then number one, and then number two, as you pointed out, if you do have growth, which wouldn't have happened absent the investment, then you will have other fees and revenue raisers for the county, permits, that sort of thing. So I guess, I mean, before we roll this out, and a question I would like to ask for the public record next time is, I'm sure we've projected the growth absent this incentive. Let's project the growth, I guess, with the incentive, and I'd like to be able to demonstrate that, you know, there really, quite frankly, in my mind, wouldn't be, quote, cost to the county for a program like this, but it'll, quite frankly, pay for itself. I mean, if business was coming in on its own, we wouldn't need this incentive. So presumably we put this incentive out and are going to measure that improvement against what otherwise would have been there. If we get that improvement, we're going to have a positive economic impact versus a drag on our economy. Again, we're not abating other costs, we're just abating the cost of that expansion. So I think that's a way to provide that, hopefully, the incentive we need to push development to happen. So again, in a couple weeks, I'd like to get that on the record, really, you know, what it will or wouldn't cost the county. And I have a feeling if we're doing this program right, it's not going to end up costing the county anything in the long run.
Councilman, thank you for your comment and question, and we will certainly address that. And a wise person told me recently to underestimate and over-deliver. And so that's what our thought was today, but we will certainly address your request.
Thank you. I didn't think you'd remember my comment.
Councilwoman Diller.
Carl, may I just ask you about your community economic development grants on page 7 of the handout?
Sure.
Let me just lay out my concern. My concern is that this, if it's available to both unincorporated and incorporated areas of the county, incorporated areas of the county often have staff that can compete in this better than unincorporated areas. There are probably unincorporated areas that certainly need these funds. And I guess what I'm asking is that after the first go-round of this, if you are open to tweaking this program, because my concern is this money will end up in municipalities that have the grant writers on staff to do this and not in places that might really need it and don't have a community development or group that can handle this. And that's my only concern here. And if you're open to tweaking this, I would be open to supporting it, but I don't want to see our unincorporated areas locked out of something like this because of lack of staff.
Sure. Councilwoman, let me try to address your concern, and I think it's a legitimate concern, by saying that, one, it's a limited amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Second, what we do now, we assist small communities with grants. For example, we're working with the Historic Newcastle Alliance and the City of Newcastle on a National Endowment for the Arts mm-hmm. grant. It's a very small city that needs help, and we're glad to assist. We're offering assistance to the Iron Hill Museum
mm-hmm.
For an infrastructure grant. So we use our expertise. So if this program doesn't necessarily work for that type of community group that's not within a municipality, there are other mechanisms that we can use. But I do recognize your concern. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, you know, in economic development, it doesn't have a bright line with regard to job creation and where money gets mm-hmm. spent. Money that is generated in Newark gets spent in Middletown and Wilmington. And so while there is some concern that there are, in fact, as you said, groups that will be able to write for communities like Wilmington and Newark, we'll certainly take that into consideration. We want to educate. We want to create some energy in the market for folks to take a look at programs, to start programs up. We'll give equal weight to those types of programs as ones that are established. If we can create great energy in the Marshallton area, as an example, to get something going there, that might get greater priority than an established Main Street program in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Street, then Councilman Weiner.
Couple three things, Mr. Chairman. Number one, I want to commend you for putting together the grant. You did a lot of work, involved a lot of people, and you were successful. And I certainly appreciate it. I think that in contentious issues and matters that have come before us for consideration in recent months, I put emphasis on the city and the impact on the city, and given the loss of so much of the city's infrastructure. And I've said this in other places, I think that the city's long-term well-being is now dependent upon what happens at the port. And hopefully the dredging and the new ships and that'll bring in new customers and create new jobs. So I'm optimistic about that, going to continue to fight for that. I think it's important. But before we break out the violin, if you look at the document that you just presented, it specifically says it's for county taxes only. And I spent 7.5 years trying to keep us as a government out of my fight. Well, it's time we started talking about things to start crossing over, because the biggest part of the tax bill is the school tax. And as we speak, and we got this initiative on the table, Red Clay's going to referendum, end of the month. If things go the way folks are projecting and wanting to go, and Christina, while they're in transition with a superintendent, you're talking about an expansion into a high school charter school, a proposed expansion of a middle school in the city. What's that got to do with it? Well, the reason they have to keep raising taxes is because every time you take a child out of the public school system and put that child into the charter school system, the district loses about $15,000 per child. So as long as we keep allowing charter schools to expand, then we're going to keep on destroying the public school system. Now, what's that got to do with jobs? If you're an employer or employee, the first thing you want to do, especially if you're coming out of town, is how are the schools? Okay, and if I've got to relocate, spend my money to relocate, take that risk, and the first thing I got to do, because in my head, the schools aren't sufficient, I got to project in my budget spending money for private school tuition. Well, if you're going to have to spend money for private school tuition as an individual or an employer over here, and you don't have to do it over here, where you're going to go? And I'm frustrated, a little angry, and a little upset, because at the end of the day, when we look at the Newark area, if the three existing high schools are not good enough for the so-called professionals around the Newark area, then why in the hell are they good enough for everybody else's children? And why should my children have to come from the city to go down here? You may say I'm mixing apples and oranges, but you do the economics, and it all boils down to what is needed to create jobs. And as long as you have a school system that is not stable, you're going to have problems creating the jobs at the end of the day. And if folks want to accuse me of mixing apples and oranges, expect for me to continue to do it again and again and again, because it's time.
Councilman Weiner, and Councilman Smiley, and Councilmember Diller.
Thanks. I'd like to go back and visit a comment made by Councilwoman Diller. And I did hear your response, and that is that the economic positives of investing in any city, village, or hamlet will be felt countywide. But if you take a look at our small unincorporated villages, there's not a lot of money to go around. It will have more of an impact if you take a look at a Marshallton or a Hockessin or a Claymont or a Centerville, where you have one or two vacancies that might be helped by this, or a streetscaping. Look what happened in Bellefonte just by the streetscaping alone. It was just a few dollars that made such a difference in turning that unincorporated village around. I would urge you to consider focusing on the villages and hamlets with such a de minimis amount of money. Now, if there were more money invested, then you could do what a lot of times we see other governments do, and that is to create tiered assistance for large and small, or even a three-level assistance. But at $50,000, I think you'd get more leverage helping the small, unincorporated villages and hamlets.
Thank you, Councilman.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I want to try to stay on track with Councilman Cartier's desire to have a very quick meeting. So, along those lines, you know, I want to take this opportunity in reference to the Economic Development Ordinance to thank the members of Council. You know, one thing that shouldn't be lost in this is the fiscal background to help bring this about was the bold and fiscally responsible move of this council to limit the percentage of transfer tax to could be included in balancing the budget, and designated that any above that could only go to debt retirement or one-time expenses. So I want to thank this council, because without that, you know, we would be scurrying for a way to even make this type of an initiative come forward. So I think council deserves a lot of credit for that, and I appreciate it.
I just want to take the privilege as chair to raise a question going back to Councilman Street's issue with school taxes. Now, as part of the ordinance, the draft ordinance concerning you know, the property tax exemption for capital investment, that does not abate the assessed increased value for school districts. Maybe you want to clarify that, Carl?
Yes, thank you, Councilman. And if I may just take a little liberty, I want to assure Councilman Street that we're not in any way changing the tax exemption that exists for the city of Wilmington that is in county code now. So in county code now, it's a 10-year graduated exemption on the improvement of land and building. It has to be $50,000. That exemption for Wilmington is much more robust. It's for school and the county portion. And that was because it was enacted in 1978. And then subsequently in 85, the law was changed that would not allow county governments to dabble in the affairs, the fiscal affairs of schools. Our ordinance speaks strictly to the county portion of property tax that on the improvement. Property is going to be reassessed no matter what if there's an improvement. That reassessment will result in a new tax rate. The schools will still be made whole. They will get that incremental increase. We're the ones who are suggesting a 3-year abatement.
Because I think we need to correct the perception that, yeah, you know, if we enact this ordinance, that we're going to somehow contribute to Councilman Street's point that the instability of schools.
Wasn't my point at all.
Wasn't your point at all.
No, sir. Yeah. My point is you're not exempting the schools.
Right.
Okay? So the incentive is significantly diminished because that's the biggest portion of the tax burden. Okay? And I'm also saying, in addition to or separate and apart from that, it's going to continue to rise with all the things that I talked about. It's just going to get worse.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I obviously, in my...
May I just respond? And I appreciate the concern. It's something that we just can't do. We're not allowed by law to do that.
Right. And
Councilman Street. Thank Councilman.
No criticism of you whatsoever. Just an overriding concern. And, you know, but the irony in all this is from 78 to 85, the difference is we went from one district in Northern Newcastle County to four. And it's still a slap in the face to me. If they want us to keep on holding the money, then we should have some responsibility and some leverage. They don't want to give us that, then let the districts bring in their own money and do what they need to do with it. Why are we in it at all? Whoever had that brainstorm in 1981.
Once we get $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let it go.
Councilmember Dillerman, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
I just want to thank Mr. Street for raising this issue, because if we keep allowing money to go out of the district budgets for what are basically publicly funded private schools, you know, we're going to have a bigger issue in this county than we do now. End of story.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Two things. First of all, yes, I would like to thank J Street for bringing this up also, because I saw this in Red Clay where they basically authorized so many charter schools that they lost their base, and that is when their demise continued at a much higher rate than what it was prior to that. The other thing, Carl, I wanted to ask is on the community grants, $50,000 is the total budget. Are you capping any one district or one area? I mean, it's 5,000, 10,000, I mean, what are...
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, one of the benefits of coming to you and other council members before we release the grant award is to seek your feedback. And we will take all your feedback into consideration, and that's a good suggestion, as well as others.
Thank you.
Councilman Smiley.
Quickly, I'm sure everyone's prepared to move on. The only thing I want to clarify, based on Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilwoman Dillon, Councilman Street's comments, is that the we in regards to grants is not at this table.
Right.
That's the only thing I want to clarify for anyone in the audience that may not understand. We are not the we in those comments. That's all.
Okay, we're going to, as we go forward, deliberate over these, this is very important package of initiatives and the subsequent ordinance, and look forward to bringing this to the floor of council in the near term for a vote. Councilman Street.
I heard what Councilman Smiley said, and I agree with you for the most part. However, we're all in this together.
Oh, I agree.
And I think we need to, as the county, from the county exec's office, exercise some leadership in having this discussion with who should be our partners in terms of the six school districts in Newcastle County. Those conversations need to be had in a serious way, as well as the Department of Education itself.
This will be the first meeting here, I think. Okay, any other comments for members of council? I'm just going to briefly throw it up to anybody from the public who wants to comment on this jobs initiative. Very briefly, anybody from the public? Yes, sir. Can you identify yourself for the record?
Be very brief. My name is Paul Morrell with the Committee of 100. Just wanted to commend the County Executive's Office and members of council for this initiative. It's measured. It fits with what you do as a government. It's fiscally appropriate. And I think it'll do some good. But the key point is you're attacking the psychology of the current economy and trying to change that. And if it works in even a little way, it's been worth it. And so we commend you.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, sir. Identify yourself directly.
Joe Fitzgerald here on behalf of the Newcastle County Chamber of Commerce. We agree substantially with the Committee of 100, so I won't repeat. But I would just say that we strongly support these initiatives and congratulate the administration and other supporters on council. And also enjoy hearing the good dialogue here today. So we respectfully ask for your support.
Thank you. Yes, 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 sir. And then you, and then someone I saw a hand over here. Yes, sir.
Bob Ruggio. My comments from the development community. My hat's off to both the county exec and council for making this an effort that we desperately need, because we fight this issue constantly as people come into our state and look at what we have to offer, and it's always a big question mark. And I think what you're doing in the processing side and also in the initiatives is going to make it a lot easier for us to do our job, and I thank you all for that.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Chairman, I'm Jeff Stone with the Delaware Economic Development Office. Director Levin wanted to be here today, but JFC today. So thank you very much for holding this meeting. I'm here rather than the JFC.
You win.
Yes.
Good point.
In any case, we just wanted to reiterate, I guess the best thing to say is what they said. We've had a long and very, very positive partnership with the county on the economic development. We want to see that continue. We think these initiatives are perfect, and we're looking forward to seeing you next one. So thank you.
Yes, sir.
Sean Tucker, legal counsel to Rural Farms. Last week, bumped into Carl at a grand opening for a Rural Farms store off of Route 40. It's their first in several years. And they learned of this initiative at that time from Carl. And I can tell you, they were very interested in the ordinance, asked me to come and speak today in support of any initiative, whether it be by the administration or members of council, joining together, ideally, to offer incentives like this for businesses to expand in Delaware. Rural Farms analyzes these types of issues when it comes to their cost and portfolio when they borrow money to build stores. And these dollars add up and drive often where businesses go and do not go. Bloom Energy, just another quick example from last year, they very much wanted to come to the county, and I know this council and the administration were very supportive of them, but at the end of the day, just by way of another quick example, was more cost effective for them to go to Newark, and they had to consider those costs for financing purposes. So Newark, for example, has a 10-year takedown, much like the city of Wilmington in terms of the tax relief over 10 years. So I think this makes sense for multiple types of businesses, smaller businesses that are going, as well as the, you know, one-off large employers who may want to relocate here, because we have to be competitive with not only municipalities, but the other counties and other states.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Please identify.
Harry Gravel, President of Delaware Building Trades Council. I represent workers. I don't represent a business. But one thing that I see in this is initiative to put our members to work and other Delawareans. So I rise in support. I had other things to say, but I think everyone else here said it pretty appropriately, and I appreciate the chance to come here and speak on behalf and in support of this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Any other last
point of discussion at this time with members of council. With that, nobody's offering any other discussion. We'll go on to the next, under other expense and revenue roundtable. Do you have anybody on the table, around the table, like to present anything in regards to that? I don't see anybody. Council President Kovac.
We're just following up. I made a few requests. We're going to have those followed up in a couple weeks.
Good point. We had a request from the council president to look at discretionary grants from the county government out of our coffers, and also to look at a term that I learned, OPEB, which goes to post-employment benefits, and the financial obligation of the county to our retirees. So that's two issues that the finance department is looking at. We'll bring to the table here very shortly in the near term. Councilman Smith.
Real quick. Technically, for me, those don't fall under this category because we created this for council members to bring forward. However, the initiatives your request got through the grant issue, it will be an agenda item under other at the February 28th council meeting. And in order for the availability of the pension personnel, the next one, the other employee, post-employee benefits, that will be at the first March finance meeting. So they will both be agenda items listed on the finance committee.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Council President Kovac. Okay, we're moving on to grants. Do we have any grants on the table? Who would like to give grant applications? Just to refresh council's memory and the memory of the public, we have revived in this fiscal year partial funding for our council grants. And I would like to go to the first one on the agenda, Councilmember Diller.
Yes, I have. Can I just do them both together? They're both very small grants.
Yes, you may.
Okay. I have two very small grants, one for Homeward Bound Emmaus House and one for Friendship House, the Newark Empowerment Center. These are two longstanding organizations that contribute substantially in the community regarding emergency needs. And as I stated when I voted for the reinstatement of this grant, my priority would be grants dealing with basic human needs and as well as activities for children. So these are the first two. I've made it clear that we're starting small, and so these are before you today.
Do I have a motion on the grant?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor of granting both grants to Homeward Bound Emmaus House and Friendship House Newark Empowerment Center? Yes, sir.
Can you just state the each one, the price?
Yeah.
$500 for each grant recipient. I have a motion on the table. I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Must be listed as not voting and not voting.
Council President Kovac.
Echo my colleague, Councilman Smiley, not voting.
Two not voting. All
that's
of
that's
in
not
favor.
To be in the press.
Yes. Okay. The next grant application, Bernie Wine High School, after prom committee, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. This is an application by a group of parents, the booster committee, asking each senior family to donate $50. Many of them won't be able to afford to, but they're having a number of activities to raise money: car washes, pizza sales, t-shirt sales, concession sales. What they want to do is create a safe environment for the after prom to keep the kids off the street. And the number of kids, young people served by this, is a large class of about 500 young people. The council last time in 2009 gave about the same amount that I'm suggesting this time, $1,500. The group has filled out the form, and I just want to thank Councilman Smiley for reviewing and bringing up some deficits in it, which have been corrected by the applicant for the senior class. So the request is for $1,500. I'd like to thank also Councilman Cartier, who's, may I mention that? Pardon?
It's $1,200.
$1,200?
Yeah.
Oh, Okay.
And I'll clarify my contribution.
Okay. $1,200 grant request, I'm sorry.
Yes, and I'm going to contribute out of my county pride funds, matching funds of $300 to bring up the request to $500 to $1,500. Not that that's germane to this vote.
Right. And they had budgeted, as you take a look at page four, broad-based private contributions being the large share of it, and they're looking for state and county government for $3,000. So the idea that Councilman Cardi and I are stepping up to the plate for half of that is their goal. I know last year we weren't able to help them. The senior class last year had to cut back on their activities, and they said the kids didn't stick around very long afterwards. So they're hoping with enhanced activities that the kids won't go out and go drinking and driving, as kids tend to do at that age.
I think that's a good point to make, that in fact this deters the problem of, you know, intoxicated teenagers driving late at night.
It's a safe environment for them to do what to play afterwards after their senior prom.
All right, do you have, want to make it? Yes, Councilman Street, before we ask for a motion.
Well, I'm sure you and Councilman Weiner know, but I want to make sure everybody else at the table knows. You know, there's a significant number of those youngsters from the city. And so it's helping them in a tremendous way, as well as, so.
Thank you. Right. I just...
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah.
Before the vote,
yeah.
I do, you know, I drop the hammer where I have to drop the hammer, and I guess I extend the feather where I need to extend the feather. I want to thank Councilman Weiner for his understanding in my critiquing of the application. Mm-hmm. Understanding that although I've publicly taken my position on it, I still think I have a responsibility as a council member, co-chair of finance, and a citizen of Newcastle County, mm-hmm. To make sure that we are following the guidelines. I appreciate your taking the position that they had to submit the proper information. I'm sure that this will be not the last one, and I hope other council members will be as understanding in saying that their applicants follow the guidelines that are in place.
Right. Thank you for your oversight.
Councilman Weiner, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion for $1,200 from Newcastle County Council grants for the Brandywine High School Senior After Prom Group.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting, please.
Councilman Smiley not voting.
Not
Council
voting.
President Kobach not voting. Okay.
One more
please.
Comment on grants.
You may. Please. Councilman Smiley.
It's not a chastisement. It's a suggestion. Apparently, there are some that submit for grant applications because they are quasi-parental group or whatever. Tend to not keep the records the way they should. Each council member needs to make sure that any applicant recalls the portion of the grant application that says we have a right to audit. So they need to be maintaining those records so that if we do, someone does request the audit, it can be properly audited. If not, my perspective would be there would be no grants going forward. They can't produce what needs to be audited. So just everyone needs to be cognizant of that.
Mr. Chair?
Councilman Weiner.
Yeah, I fully support Councilman Smiley's comments.
Okay. With that, we'll conclude our grant part of the agenda under other. And now I gather we have a request for an executive session to discuss pending litigation and strategy and obtain legal advice from legal counsel. Is that the case? Do I have a motion?
Motion for executive session for purposes of discussing pending litigation and receiving legal strategy.
Second.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to move into executive session.
It's a short meeting.
All right.
Okay, well, after coming out of executive session, discuss pending legal strategy and litigation. No votes are taken and no actions were authorized by council. I'd like to move on to close the meeting. We're coming to public comment.
No Carol, would you like to say something?
No one here for the public. Anything else for the order?
No, sir.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, those opposed? Meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, public safety.
Do we have any?
We have five extra minutes. We have 5 minutes.